It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's up? It is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. We thank you for checking us out here on Roto-Grinders, which of course is your home for all your daily fantasy sports information, all that great stuff. So, as always, thanks for giving us a chance to serve you, I guess we could say. As today on the podcast, we are going to be talking all about the NBA. Only four games, so not a lot there. Also, some college basketball discussion. What a terrific game we saw last night with Duke in North Carolina. Just a classic matchup. And Austin Rivers kind of finally living up to some of the hype that was expected from him this year. A monster game and just one of the most clutch three-pointers you're going to see this season to win that game for Duke. So we've got that on tap. A little bit of golf today. I don't think I'm going to talk about it because probably by the time a lot of you listen to the podcast today, the golf will already have kicked off. But if you haven't jumped in and tried it, you can head on over to both DraftZone and DraftStreet, and you might be able to get in some last-second PGA Tour daily fantasy action for some cash, which is good. And, of course, a box beef today. I got something I want to rant and rave about. So that's what we got on tap. Again, my name is Dan Bach. Go by DB730 in the world of daily fantasy. And last night kind of proved why, you know, when you go through the statistics like I do for the NBA on a night-to-night basis, you kind of got to take some things with a grain of salt. Because you could look at it, and one of the major things I brought up yesterday on the podcast was that Dwight Howard has not been particularly good against the Miami Heat. He's actually only scored over 19 points. I think it was like once out of the last like six games or something. Some crazy stat like that. But sure enough, what does Dwight do? Goes for 25 and 26, I think, yesterday. Almost 50 points in rebounds in the matchup against the Heat yesterday. And just a phenomenal game. So if you had him in your daily fantasy, pretty good chance that you may have won that contest. But, you know, it kind of just brings me back to this Dwight Howard question. And it's really, you know, it doesn't really matter from a daily standpoint, daily fantasy standpoint. But the entire shift of the NBA is dependent on what happens with this. And it's not just the shift for this season. It's the shift for the foreseeable future. I mean, this guy is so good, and he's only like, what, like 25 years old, something like that? I mean, he's got so many years in front of him, and he's just so dominating that, you know, I really don't understand what the Lakers are doing. I do not understand why the Lakers don't say, okay, Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum, you give us Dwight Howard, done deal. There's no reason not to do that deal. And there's no reason for Orlando not to do that deal. Now, if it was just Bynum for Howard straight up, I don't think that deal gets done. But if it's Bynum and Gasol, you got to do it. And let's face it, the Lakers right now, with where they stand, the way that they're playing, they've got no chance of winning the title, let alone probably even getting to the championship. But if you put Kobe, who is one of the most dynamic scorers and offensive players and all-around players in the league, with Dwight Howard, it doesn't matter if you've got junk all around him. It doesn't matter if Matt Barnes and old Derek Fisher and Andrew Goudlock are the guys in the supporting cast, because those two guys, I feel pretty confident, would actually beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I don't know if they'd end up beating the Bulls or the Heat in the NBA Finals, but I'll tell you right now, they got a lot better chance of doing it. So, and on the flip side, you got Orlando, who's sitting here kind of standing pat. And believe me, if Dwight Howard hasn't signed an extension yet, what makes you think he's going to sign it after the season? He's not. He's not going to sign it. He's going to go somewhere else. And then you're going to be in the same situation that Cleveland was with LeBron, where you're going to get nothing in return. So something's going to happen, and, you know, it's got to happen fairly soon. But I can tell you this. The one team that scares me is Chicago. Because if Chicago gets Dwight Howard, and they've got the pieces to do it, because they could easily move a Luol Deng and a Joakim Noah for Dwight Howard, And then you're talking about Rose, who's, you know, Kobe and Dwight would be a great combo. But a Rose-Dwight combo, that would be disgusting because those two guys are still, I don't even want to say prime. I mean, they haven't even hit their prime. Those guys have so long to still play this game. You know, Kobe, he's probably going to be out in 4 or 5 years. But those two guys could play together for the next decade. And even though Chicago looks mighty tough, and they probably don't need to make any changes, I don't know if they're good enough to beat Miami. It'll be close. But they are just dominating. I mean, when they play bad teams, it's over by halftime. But to have the opportunity to have a front line of, say, Boozer and Dwight Howard with guards of Joakim Noah, or excuse me, guards of Derrick Rose, I mean, that's just a disgusting lineup. And the one thing that I think we proved or we saw when Deng went out is that a guy like Ronnie Brewer or, you know, C.J. Watson's the backup point guard. I mean, they've got some depth on that team already. So if I'm Chicago, I make that deal. Now, if I'm Orlando, again, at some point in time, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, something is better than nothing. But all I know is the trade with the New Jersey Nets does not look overly promising right now. But I wanted to talk that quick news and notes there from the NBA, because I still think the entire balance of the NBA in which way it's going to go is still wide open in the air. I mean, clearly the Miami Heat are still going to be a team to be reckoned with, but who's going to be some of the other teams? You got Chicago, you got Oklahoma City, and again, the Lakers are still a possibility if that deal can get done. But let's talk some daily fantasy NBA. Only 4 games today, so let's get rolling here with Boston and the Lakers. Boston has one of the worst rebounding teams in the league, and the Lakers are actually one of the best rebounding teams in the league, so that should make it pretty easy on some of the guys you want to take tonight. Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum, both of these guys should have a field day on the glass. Gasol has actually had 3 straight double-doubles. Bynum has had 4 straight, so they've been playing pretty well already. And one guy to look at Boston could be Rajon Rondo. He has not been terrific coming back from his injury, but tonight might be one of those breakout performances. It's going to be a highly competitive game on national TV, and I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Rondo gets his act together and puts together a nice game. Denver, they're still battling through injuries, and they take on the Golden State Warriors, which should be a high-scoring game. And Nene played pretty well yesterday in his first game off of that injury, and it'll be interesting to see which way this game goes, because you got to expect a high-scoring game. The last time these two teams played, the final was 134-111, and Denver has actually been averaging 127 points over the last 6 home games against Golden State. So you got to think there's going to be a lot of scoring going on in this game. So taking players from either of these two teams is not a bad idea. David Lee coming off a triple-double for Golden State his last game, and of course Monte Ellis had a career-high 48 points in the last outing. So he's not the most consistent guy out there, but when he is knocking down shots, he's one of the best players in the league. Over now to Houston and Phoenix. This game could be a little bit interesting. You got to follow our Twitter feed to get some updates here on Kyle Lowry. He got hurt yesterday in, I think, about the 3rd quarter, and we'll see whether or not he decides to play tonight. If he doesn't, you can put Goran Dragic into your lineup as your point guard, because he's not going to be overly expensive. And he's one guy who's actually played pretty well when given minutes. So definitely keep your eye on that. And I'm not sure I really trust Houston on the back end of the back-to-back tonight, because you look at some of their players, and you know, you got guys like D'Alembert, Kevin Martin, Luis Scola. I mean, these are not the youngest guys out there, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Phoenix end up winning this game. And speaking of D'Alembert, only 7 minutes yesterday, so I don't know what was up with that. You might want to read into it a little bit and see if he was hurt or what the situation was. But if he decides to arrest him tonight, maybe Jordan Hill takes his spot, and he's been fairly good at times. You know, he's not consistent whatsoever, but there are times where he'll go and get 13 rebounds out of the blue. So if he gets a start, he might be a guy to consider for a nice cheap option. As for Phoenix, Nash and Gortat are the only two I think you can really consider in Phoenix these days, and neither of those guys are overly exciting. Gortat very consistent, Nash very old, but for the most part they've been getting it done this season. Last game, Sacramento and Oklahoma City tonight. OKC should have a field day against this Kings defense, and so should Kevin Durant. He scored 30 points in five of his last six games, a 32-point-per-game average against Sacramento. That's his best average against any team in the league. And Russell Westbrook, 27 points per game on average over his last seven, while James Harden is at a 20-point-per-game average over his last four. So both of those guys are getting it done. And Oklahoma City's defense, well, they haven't been all that great lately. They've allowed 107 points in each of the last three games. And Tyreek Evans did well last year against Oklahoma City, scored 52 points in those games last year, while DeMarcus Cousins had a 21-point-per-game average in the four games they played a year ago. So that's the quick rundown of your NBA basketball for this Thursday. Not a lot more action coming tomorrow, we will discuss, but best of luck in your games tonight. Time for me to say a quick thank you to my friends at Daily Joust, the great sponsor here of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Please head on over there if you haven't already, and if you haven't signed up, make sure you go through our links here on Roto Grinders, because we offer just some of the best bonuses you're going to find anywhere. But on top of that, with Roto Grinders, when you go through our links over on Daily Joust, you get in our incentives program, and what that means is you get all the... basically, I don't want to say top secret information, but it's only going to incentive-based members, and it's daily projections for the NBA, Major League Baseball, weekly projections in the NFL, and one of the coolest things is a $500 free roll only for incentives members, so you don't have to battle 500 other people to win some cash. So the only way you can get that, sign up through our links here on Roto Grinders to Daily Joust, and... you can become an incentives member. Of course, their solo survivor tournaments are going on right now. Solo contests, only place you're going to find those are at Daily Joust. And make sure you get qualified for the Super Joust. Take a look at where you are on the badges. They have their Super Joust badges. And if you're in the top, I think it's 40 this go around, might be an easy way for you to get an entry into the Super Joust. So check them out. Great sponsor here of the podcast. They are dailyjoust.com. Time to move on to some college basketball for today. Lots of games in action, and I've had a little bit of a success so far on Draft Street and their new college basketball that they have launched. So when we talk about the games tonight, I'm going to talk Draft Street prices, which, of course, points, rebounds, assists, and, of course, the rebounds are 1.25, assists are 1.5, and, of course, points are only worth a point. No worries about turnovers, blocks, steals. So pretty simple format over there. Here is what I like. Here are some guys I think you want to consider tonight. John Scherna with Northwestern. He's at 17K, so he's pretty expensive. But the one thing I've really come to learn is you need your high-end guys that you're going to spend on to come through. You got to have that consistency. And he's a guy who's about as consistent as they come. If you look through his game logs here, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's scored 20 points or more in 6 out of his last 8 games, and that's just scoring. That doesn't even include the rebounds and assists, which he basically does pretty well in both of those categories as well. And in a game against Iowa at home, and that's the one thing I've looked at, they've got some really good split stats on there on Draft Street's pages where you could see how guys compare from a home versus road perspective. But Scherna, he's pretty much good night in, night out, and he's really one of the most underrated players from the usage standpoint. I mean, this guy is one of the only offensive playmakers they have on this Northwestern team who can score some points. So look for him to have a big game against Iowa. The next guy I'm going to go with is Garrett Jackson of USC. Normally not too high in USC because they don't score a whole lot on offense, but this guy's been getting it done since he's actually gotten playing time, and that's been the key for him because he was basically kind of just coming off the bench for a while, but now he's been getting starters minutes, and if you look at his stats, double figures in 4 out of the last 5 games, and in those he's basically getting about 4 to 5 rebounds as well. So if he gets to that 20 fantasy point range, that's what you're looking for, and the price won't kill you at only about $8,500. Next guy to consider, Tony Roden over there at Washington. Washington's one of the highest scoring teams, And this guy is just a terrific player all around. And scoring-wise, maybe been down the last three games, but I think that's kind of fluky. I think he'll get back on the scoring side of things. And if he does, he has the potential to be putting up 30 fantasy points a game because he gets rebounds. You look around about 5 to 6 a game, and he also dishes the ball, which you gotta love when you got 1.5 points on the scoring format over there at Draft Street. So look for Tony Roten of Washington to have a big game. And my last little sleeper for you is Mike Ladd of Washington State. It's important to have a couple cheap guys in there because the bottom line is you want to get the guaranteed production. The only way you're going to get that is getting some of the higher priced guys in there. So you got to risk it with some of the cheaper options out there. And Ladd, the last three out of the last four games, he's gone 22 minutes, 24 minutes, 31 minutes. And in those games, he's been doing all right. The last two, he had 12.5 fantasy points and 18 fantasy points. And they take on Oregon State, which is one of the more high-scoring teams out there. And like we always talk in any sort of sport, especially with basketball, it's all about finding players who are playing lots of minutes, because if you're getting minutes, you're getting opportunities. And for the price tag, I mean, this guy isn't a great player, but he's only going to cost you about $6,000. So that means you can upgrade elsewhere. So look to him to hopefully pay off and maybe get you 15 fantasy points tonight, and that would be just fine. So that's going to wrap up our look at college basketball for tonight. Best of luck over there on Draft Street, Daily Joust, and on FanDuel.
Sometimes sensible, but regularly ridiculous. It's Box Beef.
Okay, so the one thing Daily Fantasy has really hurt me with is my exercise routine. I used to work out like every day for an hour in the morning, but that has basically been transformed into podcasting and getting my teams ready. So I put on some pants the other day, and they didn't fit. You know, that's one of those moments where you're like, oh, shoot, I'm getting fat. So what did I do? I went back, and I'm going for another round of P90X. And I'll tell you what, this isn't like a paid promotion. That stuff works, but it's oh so painful once you first get started, you know. So I'm back doing that again. And in doing that, though, you know, that's not what I'm ranting about. It's about music, because I can't stand, you know, listening to the hokey music that they have on these videos. So I usually just pop in the iPod and, you know, whatever I've got in there, it goes. And some music came up for me yesterday that I miss. And the one thing about music is it always comes in phases. You know, in the 70s, you had disco. And then in the 80s, you kind of had the keyboard vibing music, kind of cheesy keyboard music. And then in the 90s, you had some, had grunge music. And then in the early aughts, you had the teeny bopper music, the NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, and Britney Spears. And now I think it's a lot more into the hip-hop you know, and I don't want to say rap, but, you know, the kind of hip-hop music seems to be top of the charts and that kind of stuff. But back in, you know, all those little phases, there was about maybe a one-year time. I want to say it was about 2000 and maybe it was about 2000 or maybe like 1999, right around there. There was music called ska music. And I don't know why ska music didn't take, but ska music is good. Okay, all of a sudden on my iPod, some real big fish jumped on. And some of you are like, who the hell is that? Well, they are a ska band, and they're good. Like, I don't understand why this music didn't take, because you had bands like Real Big Fish, you had Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, there's quite a few other bands. 311 was kind of a ska band as well, so actually, 311 really wasn't. But for the most part, there was quite a few out there. And again, it made a run for about like a year. And then suddenly, it totally fell off the map. Now, I'm going to play a little ska music for it here. And you can't tell me this doesn't like put a little smile on your face. Okay? I mean, when this song came up on my iPod, I was like, yeah, this is good. So take a listen. You know, I mean, you can't tell me this isn't good.
She called me late last night. Say she loved me so. Didn't matter anymore. I say she never cared and that she never will. I do it all again. I guess I'll have to wait until then. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor.
So I have no idea what happened or why it happened, but for whatever reason, this music pretty much has died. And I'm sure probably they're playing, it still exists out there, but I'm just too lazy to find it. But that's my beef for today is, you know, why was there the death of ska music? It should not have died. It should have stayed mainstream because it's good. You know, the same can't be said for Britney Spears. Same can't be said for, you know, Disco Inferno. But ska music, I miss it. I miss you. Make a comeback. Probably won't. But there you go. That's my feeling on the music industry. So that is going to wrap up the podcast for today. We'll return again tomorrow talking all sorts of daily fantasy. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, RotoGrinders, at RotoGrinders. Also, download this podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe, so it'll be there for you each and every day. And if you got any comments, send me an email, dan@rotogrinders.com. Okay, folks, till tomorrow, have yourself a great night, and we will talk to you then. See you.